Hey, you want that to go?
So our first takeout, part of our South Florida coverage here from WLRN, we're joined by Damian Cave, Miami Bureau Chief for the New York Times. Excuse me, what's going on with my throat here? Good morning, Damian.
Good morning.
Let's talk about a proposal in the jobs bill that implies that film characters aren't family friendly. And it means that film projects filming down in South Florida might not get a tax break. What is this new proposal here in Florida?
Well, this is a bonus on top of the usual incentive program for films that would shoot here, but it's called the family-friendly bonus, and they have something in play now which would give you an extra 2% if you have a film that's, you know, friendly enough for a five-year-old. But the new language says that it can't have anything, in, you know, directly or implied about non-traditional family values, which for a lot of people has been taken to mean anything gay is off limits, and, you know, it could mean another number of other things too, like anyone divorced is off limits. So basically it's an effort to really tighten this family values component of the incentive bill, and it's, some people are fearing that it's going to send away the producers that they're trying to attract.
So the Will and Grace reunion show would not be shot in Miami, and if Disney's Modern Family, which airs on ABC, was to have some sort of Miami subplot, they would be in trouble as well. Let's listen to Modern Family.
She's perfect. Aren't you, Lily?
Oh, look how calm she is with you. She's usually very fidgety around new people.
Mommy.
Did she just say... Well, her first word was every gay father's worst nightmare.
Given that these are mainstream programs, and I guess Modern Family isn't necessarily shot in Florida, what's the constituency for a proposal like this, Damian Cave?
You know, the movies that have gotten this bonus over the past few years are actually movies that have a basis with a lot of storylines and dogs. You know, there was a Beethoven sequel, another Disney movie based with dogs. So, I mean, frankly, the constituency seems to be stories that are very, very child-oriented and that sort of sidestep any complicated issues for adults or humans.
Is this likely to result in protests or outrage on the part of gay groups in South Florida or in the entertainment business?
There has been a significant opposition. I mean, this is a small piece of a larger bill, but the attention to it seems to be growing. You know, one of the Democratic co-sponsors pulled his name off the bill because he fears that it's exclusionary. And, you know, in this sort of blogosphere in the world of film and liberal politics, this is something that has been noticed. And so there are concerns that it will continue to grow and expand. You know, and for Florida, which really does need jobs, and this being the sort of main jobs bill that the legislators are putting through.
And, well, we may have lost Damian Cave there, but I think he laid the issue out there. A proposal that actually makes family-friendly plot lines get a bonus if they're shot in South Florida, which may mean that gay characters, there's a disincentive there. Damian Cave, Miami Bureau Chief for the New York Times. Todd?
All right, thanks, John. No disincentive for Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen because it's the NFL offseason and it's player trade free agency time. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen's dry erase board is scrawled with red and blue. He's going nuts here. Who's going where, Ibrahim?
Well, okay, first of all, we have the Kansas City Chiefs, and they signed the ex-Jets running back Thomas Jones. This is going to be an interesting thing, and I want to circle back to it, is that when a player gets to be a certain age, that the NFL teams are starting to dump them. So remember that point. The Cleveland Browns released their former Pro Bowl quarterback Derek Anderson, and then superstar wide receiver Anquan Boldin, who was with the Arizona Cardinals, is now a Baltimore Raven, which gives the Ravens a very strong offense to add to their very strong defense. And then Michael Vick's option, which means that the team – they get a roster bonus. If they stay on the team after a certain period, then they get some extra money. That was picked up by the Philadelphia the Eagles, which means that they're going to keep him around for another year, it seems like.
Right. Now, you're talking about some older players who sometimes have higher salaries, and this year, for the first time in a long time, the NFL has no salary caps.
Correct. They have no salary cap, which they also have no salary floor, which I think is another thing to remember.
Ah.
You know, there was a minimum salary that was in place with the salary cap, and that kind of has shifted the sands. But if you think about some of these older players, like a LaDainian Tomlinson, who's an older running back, and where he's going to go is potentially Minnesota to back up Adrian Peterson. But think about 10, 15, 20 years ago, would they have been dumping these older players, particularly running backs, who take they're like vice presidents in a company. They'll take the fall and they'll take the workload in any given time. But if you think of these earlier players, like Emmitt Smith when he was with Dallas, would he have been dumped when he was 30? And maybe you would have missed the best of his years.
A new era in the NFL with salaries and with the age of players. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, thanks for bringing us up to speed on the draft.
Good morning.
And Ibrahim, we still have to figure out where Terrell Owens is going to go. T.O. doesn't have a home yet, that's for sure.
He might go to Cincinnati.
Yeah, he's always a cliffhanger for T.O., that's for sure. We may not know that till November.
He's running out of places, though.
Indeed. As always, for our last takeout, we turn the microphone over to some of our geniuses. Our listener, we've been in the middle of a week-long series exploring genius, what it is, who is one, what are the qualities. We'll hear the story of a child prodigy and eight-time chess champion later this hour. But we talked yesterday with virtuoso violinist Sarah Chang, and that got Dave in West Palm Beach, Florida, talking, too. He posts on our site, "My 16-year-old daughter is a soprano and is laser-focused on a career in opera. Sarah's story is a great encouragement for a strikingly similar focus, passion, and discipline at an early age. It also serves as validation that there are others who've proven that the unconventional and unpopular path, with hard work, indeed, can be the rewarding one."
Well, John, I'm sure that our own resident opera singer Celeste would love to hear more about that story and would be encouraging. Now, while some people can train to be geniuses, Jason in Washington put it this way earlier this week.
"Very similar to those Maybelline commercials. Maybe you're born with it, or maybe it's just make-believe."
And if you've been playing a little make-believe, actually, we've been asking if you were born a genius, what kind of genius would you be? Renee called us at 8778-MY-TICK.
"And I would like to be a genius in human relationships, because then I would be more successful in any career path I might choose. And more importantly, I would have more fulfilling and less stressful family and social relationships."
Well, what's Jim in New York posts to our site, "If I could be a genius at one thing, I would choose parenting." That's a good one. At our site, you can keep the conversation going, read an excerpt from David Schenck and his book, The Genius in All of Us, and get audio examples of genius down through history, all on thetakeaway.org.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.